You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
You're listening to Renegade on the Roundtable. A little bit of feedback on my end. I'm going to let it die out a little bit. It's January the 1st, the 12th, 2018, and my co-host is not quite here yet. Not sure if he's having technical difficulties. Really puts a damper on things because this is he's supposed to do the intro. If he doesn't call in, I'll just talk about my articles that I wrote. I wrote a series of articles this month. But first, I just want to check one thing. Can everybody hear me loud and clear in the chat room? Give me a thumbs up. Give me a hell yeah. Whatever you need. Just give me some sign of life. Maybe even a smile. All right, I'm not sure if you guys are hearing me loud and clear. I'm going to proceed anyways. I wrote a number of articles this month right here on the Renegade Tribune. The one most recent article I wrote was Our Golden Ratio Toad God, which was actually a sequel to an article that I wrote about the New Year special with Anderson Cooper and his new co-host, Andy Cohen. But go to Renegade right now, the Tribune, and take a look at my article and read along with me. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. It's pretty lengthy. It requires a lot of playing YouTube videos, but I'm just going to give you a brief introduction to it. It's about gold as being a power for the tribe, dating back even before the Ark of the Covenant, and such relics as the Ark of the Covenant can create a psychological hold on not only for the Jews, but the masses. Now, you might ask me, Rolly Quaid, what type of psychological hold are you talking about here? I'm talking about Lester Diamond Casino's psychological hold on Ginger. If you ever watch that movie, see it in the video store, rent it. Because that's the psychological hold I'm talking about. I'm talking about whore-pimp relationship. Hey, you know, Lester Diamond would tell Ginger, hey, I remember when you had braces. And you were so cute back then. Now get back on the streets and whore it for me. I'm talking about that sort of psychological hold the tribe has on us. And they use it by gold. Gold is a very powerful symbol. It's encapsulating the sun itself. And it has deep, significant meanings in our psyche. You know, we're sun people. I mean, we're not moon Semitic people. They took our symbols and fucking use it on us. In our Judeophile culture, whoever adorned with gold and display it as power displayed as power has a stronghold over the collective, and nobody flaunts their wealth like the Don, the Trump, our great and powerful Zog Emperor himself. and I like him to a golden god himself. I got a family photo, pretty creepy, of Trump, Melania, and Barron. He's a little bit younger, maybe six. He's Barron sitting on a lion, which, of course, a lion is a sun symbol. And there's cars thrown around to make it seem like it's an average family. But it's decorated as like a monarch would be. And in the background, somebody photoshopped a sort of C-3PO image. It's actually CeeLo, an R&B singer. But a lot of people online think that hey, can anybody hear me? Can anybody hear me in the audience? Hey, can somebody give me a thumbs up that they can hear me? Hey, guys, if you can't hear me. Oh, okay. Well, then, holy shit. Why'd you say you can't hear me? Wrench in the monkey set. All right. All right. If you look at the Trump's head, you know, that halo that he has, it's a golden ratio. It's a perfect circle. Take it from the ear and draw it around like a compass. He has it, man, the golden ratio. You guys are big fans of Indiana Jones movies and Star Wars movies. You know, George Lucas actually wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark and wrote the original Indiana Jones. And Norman Reynolds actually designed both C-3PO and he designed the golden head that Indy reaches for in Raiders of the Lost Ark that he has to swap for a sandbag that is on top of a booby trap platform. And if you look at the golden idol, the front, not so much in the eyes, but that teeth of that golden idol looks exactly like Donald Trump when his dentures were falling out during his Jerusalem speech. And when I'm talking about his golden ratio halo that he has with his hair, it's not just Trumpster. It's his sons, too. Eric definitely has the golden ratio, too. And if you look at his hair, it also kind of looks like an Egyptian headdress. Or they also call it a head crown that the pharaohs used to wear. And it matches the golden ratio. Alex Jones is quite a character, isn't he, guys? He actually likened Donald Trump to being a magnificent golden toad and referred to him as his toad god on several occasions. And the higher charts also echoed the same sentiment. They had A.T.L. Carver, who went on the show Higher Charts, and he described the Pepe meme as being close to Kemp, a symbol of a trickster frog. That's the Iker Temple architectural to Lucifer itself, the bringer of light, and is a trickster. Bill Cooper said that the sun, the symbol of light that brings intellect to man and gives intellectual knowledge, primordial knowledge that the serpent has. And the serpent has been symbolized as being the sun itself. You could check out Bill Cooper's Hour of the Time, hour number 19 that he did on May 12th, 1993. It is very good. But But there's also a psyop going on with the Chinese. Chinese are known for being not really religious, but, you know, being atheists, but also being the most superstitious culture there is. That's why when a zookeeper saw a golden pheasant, saw it as a good omen, which is adorned by Chinese superstition, and the Guardian actually reported on it. It's a spinning image of Donald Trump, you know, the golden cock kind of look. And it even has the neck, the little gulping neck, you know. But in India, they actually try to pass off a obviously computer-generated glyph of some sort of like chariot of the gods with an idol sticking on the hood of a limo and try to pass it off as Trump's new presidential limo called the Beast One. I don't know if they ever finished building the Beast One. It was supposedly having some sort of interior design made by Russia. And they were actually going to use whale testicle parts to make Trump's new limo. So he wanted to have like a whale testicle limo instead of like rolling around in Obama's old limo. You know, God forbid that. Got to have testicle interior. But it's amazing that they use fake news to try to display Trump's golden power among people in the Indian subcontinent as well. I go further on the article and talk about Anakin Skywalker did not build C-3PO. It was Wilbur Ross was his creator. And then you got a picture of Donald Trump, the Don, with Wilbur Ross together with their shitting grins on. And of course, he worked for, referring to Wilbur Ross, he worked for Rothschild's Inc. for 24 years, and he was the former head of Rothschild's Inc. bankruptcy advising team. And he was also Trump's pick for conference secretary. And he saved Donald Trump from bankruptcy from his Atlantic bankruptcy that happened in 1990. Able Danger website wrote a great article describing pretty much what you guys already know about Wilbur Ross's I'll just say it wasn't in the article, but his tribal connections and his connections to the Rothschilds Inc. But also what's really important is the connections of their mutual friend to Carl Inken, who's a bondholder who struck a deal to keep Trump's casinos. And then brother Nathaniel, I know some of you guys get the heebie-jeebies looking at him, you know, but he did a good video, so I'll put it up, talking about Trump's deck of Jews, which he talks about the IOUs that are going to be called in to Trump when he's elected. I know that's kind of old news, and you guys already know about his IOUs, but I go further on the article where Carl is sitting at the Taj Mahal lighting up a cigar. And then there's another meme below it that says, "Don't ever try to fuck me, Donnie." Referring to Carl and Don together. And, you know, Carl actually looks like Alexandria Sosa from the Scarface films. Look at those guys side by side. The nose don't lie. And who could ever forget that fun trip that Trump did all the way to Saudi Arabia in 2017? You know, Wilbur Ross was there to make sure that he didn't fuck his mutual friend, Carl. And of course, he had his barely competent son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who's supposedly the snake in his ear only. I don't think so. Have you ever heard any of those kids' speeches? Sounds like a 13-year-old. And you've all seen the orb that King Solomon and Trump and Sisi of Egypt put their hands on at the same time, have that golden glare on them while in darkness. And I put a mock oath on my article saying, I swear on this orb to champion Zionism and the call for the cause of the Jewish ownership of every square inch of planet Earth. Which is, of course, odd, because on the campaign trail, Donald Trump said that Saudi Arabia is responsible for 9/11, and it wasn't Iraq, excuse me, and criticized Obama for being Saudi's bitch, basically, and also criticized Hillary Clinton for taking money for her pay-to-play foundation when she was Secretary of State in the Obama administration, which was a total conflict of interest to have Bill Clinton heading up in charge of the Clinton Foundation while she was Secretary of State. And they raked in some big cash, you know, weapon sales, you name it, man. And then we go on to the article, and Donald Trump is receiving the golden necklace from the King of Saudi Arabia, King Solomon. And I write, good job for getting rid of those tallow heads, Donnie. For your efforts of Krav Maga and the Arabs, you get a gold chain. And of course, Ross was supervising that. He's over his shoulder. You know, like a raven screaming nevermore at you when you're trying to write some shit. In the Islamic faith, only women wear gold. Men don't wear gold. And husbands and protectors present women with gold. This translates into the Middle Eastern world that Donnie is not only the Zog's bitch, but Saudi Arabia's bitch too. And why don't we celebrate with a sword dance? Total sausage party, that sword dance, wasn't it? It really was a sword dance. Trump's own Wilbert Ross praised the lack of protest in Saudi Arabia on Trump's Saudi Arabia tour that happened in 2017. I took an article from Kyle from Secular Talk, not to be confused with our owner of Renegade Broadcasting. He did a report talking about how Ross is just an old fart and connected from reality. Yeah, sure. Those guys over at TYT, the Young Turks, they're on the dole. You know, they get money from George Soros. I'm not these guys that says everybody takes money from George Soros, but that's their daddy. And they push that liberal agenda hard. And they also talk about, like, the problem with politics is money. You got the Social Democrat organization that raises dollars per year while still bitching about, like, they're not making money while doing YouTube videos. I haven't received a golden cent. He said, sort of, guys. But moving on to the article, to compare to Zog Emperor to C-3PO from the Star Wars universe might be a stretch for some of you guys. Except for that one particular turn of the Jedi where the Ewoks, who are religious fanatics, capture C-3PO and see his decorated gold figure and immediately start worshiping him. They actually claim him as a god while they hang up his friends. The Ewoks discover that humans can be quite ruthless and cutthroat. And this metaphor, I use the politicians, the career politicians, who don't care about their own voting base. And supposedly this nervous, bumbling android was a divine presence. When it comes down to his shiny golden armor, you got to take a look at the video. It's by Internet Wonderland. Like I said earlier, guys, I wasn't going to cover this one. They typically live in tribes, talking about the Ewoks, near the river or in trees or cliffs near villages. You could also say that could be a metaphor for Middle America or the South. And I don't, when I say Southerners, I'm a Southerner myself. Just because you're a Southerner doesn't mean you're a deeply religious Zionist fundamentalist. Southern pride has nothing to do with being a Zionist. The Ewoks are deeply spiritual and believing in the sacredness of indoors trees, which you can conclude that that could be a metaphor for Israel in this video that I sent you. According to prophecy for the Ewoks, the Golden One one day would appear to them when C-3PO mysteriously arose from the booby trap. Divinity has been linked to gold for thousands of years. It's been adored by kings and queens themselves who have adorned them. And then I go on to talk about the ring of power. I don't talk about it. I put the video up. There's an interesting writer who I've never used a source for. And I would want to have on the show, but I have to proceed with caution because the guy is a Hasidic Jew. And in his YouTube videos and his writings are very deceptive. But he uses, what he does is he takes the symbols that we've accustomed to being the Illuminati, like, for example, the pyramid with the eye, and he says that's not from some sort of mysterious culture that nobody could ever pinpoint. That is from directly from Orthodox Judaism. The pyramid itself is a step pyramid that is the 13 steps on each rung actually relate to Jacob's ladder. It's a really good video. I might do a breakdown of it eventually. I don't think I'll ever have this guy on as a host for that reason. And his accent's really kind of hard to understand, but I always thought his information was interesting. I know a lot of you guys would protest buying one of his books because he is a hardline Zionist. But moving on, during the campaign trail, CNN actually made Hillary Clinton a glowing god, and she's throwing her hands up like hallelujah, you know, like she has a set of wings that are going to fly away on you. This is unaltered footage from Hillary Clinton's rally. And CNN actually posted, they said host Chris Plant called her a golden god. But if they're going to put that in print, that it's one of them guys, you know that they're calling her a golden god themselves. Then I go on to the article, looking at the golden toilet that Trump shits in, that has 24 carats in it, where he makes all these intelligent tweets for us to read. Well, I don't know if he actually tweets at all. I think he actually has a secret service people text some of them and just mess up the fragment a little bit. But, Clinton and Trump have been labeled as golden gods. I mean, they still use this sort of like trigger on us nowadays to dig into our psyche. But we all know that Trump and Hillary Clinton have weird sexual fetishes themselves. Allegedly, Trump likes the golden shower. This one I never really dug into. It came from BuzzFeed. If you guys want to dig into it, I can. But golden gods can make golden rain as proof of their power and divinity. Daily Mail reported that Pissgate, as they call it, was unclaimed about Trump's misconduct in Moscow with Miss Universe pageant winner, who's from Venezuela. Her name is Gabriela Isser. And every time this woman has a photo of her, her mouth is like completely open. And every time I see her open mouth, I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, you know, they've selected this to make you think that her mouth is a golden shower fountain. It's pretty freaking gross. And the article goes on and talks about how the tribe is adorned with gold, even on their priests. And they actually have the 13 tribe plated on their chest. Or the 12 tribe, excuse me. And the Ark of the Covenant has been a communicator with God. And it was also the resting place of the Ten Commandments. And then it goes on. And in this article, I wasn't trying to call Trump Moses like he's some sort of lawgiver. You know, he does what he's told. He's an Illuminati poodle, if you were. But he's become the symbol for him. And the Jewish sages are in fact, the Moseses. They're the lawgivers. They own Congress. I mean, our system's based off the parliamentary system, right? If it's based off the parliamentary system, you know, that was made by Oliver Cromwell, who's a hardcore Zionist before it was a term.
Mississippi, she's calling my name. Catfish are jumping, that paddle wheel thumping. Black lava keep rolling on past just the same.
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Boy, Gentile, tired of being labeled an evil Nazi? Embarrassed at being associated with the homo alt-right? At 25andhigh.com, we have a millennia of experience in changing names, all within our laws. Why be a Woodley when you can change to Weinstein and openly get away with sexually assaulting women and children? Scared of being a Gershom? Well, change to Greenspan, you schmuck. Print paper money out of thin air, charge interest, bam, set for life. How about Smith to Spectre and call for the genocide of an entire race? It's so simple. And a 25 Bitcoin transfer from you guarantees a new clean Jewish identity. No more shame, guilt, or white privilege anxiety. 25andhigh.com. Be the changer you want to see.
We'll be right back.
All right, guys. Back again. Once again, I'm Rolly Quaid, right here on the Wild Card. My co-host is not here tonight. It's Tom from Connecticut. I hope he's doing okay. That's the first initial thing I wonder. And I'm winging a show tonight, guys, talking about my article. If you guys are just tuning in, you can find it on the Tribune. It's the Golden Ratio Toad God. We're going to get back to the article right now. I was talking about Trump is not Moses the lawgiver, but it's the stages of the Torah that are, in fact, the lawgivers. And sages live on in this current time. You know, every religious Jew or non-religious Jew, their religion stems from the Pharisees from the Bible, particularly the New Testament. So Trump is not Moses, but is the golden idol to be knocked down by the illumined ones. I don't necessarily want this, people. I wasn't calling for violence on Donald Trump. It's beyond my control. I couldn't even put him in office by voting for him. But the hidden symbolism of the mainstream media seems to indicate that there's going to be coming of a time where Donald Trump gets the Gaddafi treatment. I wrote in my article about Anderson Cooper, Andy Cohen, and the new year, MKUltra drugs, Me Too, and the Illuminati sacrifice of Zog Emperor Trump, that Kathy Griffin, who used to be the host of CNN New Year's special, did a mock head sacrifice of ISIS style, which, of course, you know, ISIS is Israeli secret intelligence. You know, no shocker with this audience. The beheading actually wasn't Kathy Griffin first. She didn't put that imagery first of beheading Trump. Marilyn Manson, actually, who's Kathy Griffin's friend, actually put out a music video that I'll go over after this article, where he actually showed beheading Trump, and Trump and Marilyn Manson's had some sort of rivalry dating back for some time. And there's a linchpin between these two beheading videos, and it is Tyler Shields, who directed both beheading videos, and he's a photographer. And I don't know quite his relationship status now, but he used to date Clint Eastwood's daughter, who's a Golden Globe winner. But I definitely think that Tyler Shields is setting the stage for the Zog Emperor to be sacrificed to the evil tribal deity known as Jehovah to shine even more favor to their tribe. Trump has been likened to Adolf Hitler by the weird Hollywood pansexual cult that Shields is actually part of. Shields actually is a photographer, and he put out a 2015 before the campaign trail of a man who's dressed as Adolf Hitler in an SS uniform and a swastika on his left arm. And he put a golden gun to his head and blew his own brains out. There's a woman off stage and one of them putting a gun on his head. Things that pass as art, guys. But he was selling three of these for $20,000 a pop. He used an actual replica of a World War II pistol. It must have cost him a heavy load just to get that artifact in the picture itself. But eventually, I'm going to write another article talking about the sacrifice of the golden god. It's kind of the antithesis to a lot of things you guys have been reading about QAnon. I don't like the guy. I don't know if he's a guy. I don't know if he's a Autobot. I don't know if he's a military intelligence service. But he gets more traffic going to his articles than I do. And for that simple fact, I don't like that. You know, I think you guys should be reading my literature. But anyways, we're going to go on to the next article. It's title AC2 New Year MK Ultra Drugs Me Too and Illuminati Sacrifice of Zog Emperor Trump. And this is not the article where I'm going to write about the sacrifice of Donald Trump. And in the front of the photo that I have for this article is the header. It's Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper together. And Andy Cohen has his mouth wide open, his hands wide open. And I'm not even going to say what that looks like. I'm just going to move on. But Kathy Griffin's, you know, Kathy Griffin, the beheadist of Donald Trump, former boss from My Life on the B-List was actually Andy Cohen. Andy Cohen was chosen, and I parenthesize that so you know I'm talking about the tribe, by CNN to co-host the New Year's special, replacing Kathy for the New Year's special. So if you guys tuned into that, you saw Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper together. And obviously, Andy Cohen was high as a kite. He started talking about, Anderson Cooper, you sound like you're on heroin. And then Anderson Cooper said, what does somebody who sounds like they're on heroin actually sound like? I don't know, it's like vibrations coming out of your ears. He actually was doing a little bit of head back and forth. Looks like he wanted to do what Kathy Griffin tried to do on camera with Anderson Cooper, and that's provide fellatio for him. Cohen and Pooper Cooper are a cute couple, ain't they? They don't just share needles with each other in AIDS. They are going to be special guesting your New Year's blast on CNN permanently. Yippee. And they got a cute couple name, Team Ramrod style name, AC2, and it's like a little square. And it comes from their first names, the Andy and the Anderson. I wouldn't be surprised if they also showed what fragrance Andy Cohen is selling. Andy Cohen is actually bottling up Lady Gaga's urine and selling it as fragrance. That is not from a parody article. I got it from Breitbart. Maybe you could say that's a parody article too. But Lady Gaga, this is Cohen talking. Lady Gaga, she could pee in whatever she wants as far as I'm concerned. And so I could bottle up her pee. And it's a pop culture artifact. We could bottle it up and sell it everywhere. Even at the clubhouse. The clubhouse is the reference to Cohen's show. Now that Kathy Griffin has been banished, blackballed, blacklisted, whatever, from the inner circle of Hollywood that shares needles together and wears Lady Gaga's urine, you're going to be seeing a lot more Pooper Cooper and Andy Cohen in your living room together. Next time you guys see them together, you can think of needles, AIDS, and Lady Gaga's urine. Griffin desperately wants to be the bitch to snort coke with Coop before the broadcast of the New Year's special. Maybe she could even see the heroin heat waves that are surging through Cooper's ears. That could have been me, Aunt Kathy Griffin screams on Mount Zion. Then I leak an article talking about how salty Kathy Griffin is and having like some sort of Twitter feud that nobody really cares about. So I won't belabor you with it. But she's definitely pissed off that Andy got the position over her. And you know why. She had a picture of cutting off Trump's head and thought it was a big joke. But Pooper Cooper and Andy Cohen have actually been friends for 25 years. And I got a picture of a little bit of eye twitch action going on with Cohen. Cocaine is a hell of a drug, guys. They've actually been friends for 25 years. They've traveled the world together and performed in 30 plus cities with the Ramrod A2 thing they got going on. And Kathy Griffin is also on the fringes of Me Too PSYOPs. And she's actually accusing Andy Cohen as being one of her harassers and put out a 17-minute cry fest titled Kathy Griffin, A Hell of a Story, which talks about Harvey Levin and accusing, who's also surrounded by the Harvey Weinstein scandal. You want to do coke? She was asked. I'm thinking, this is Griffin I'm talking about. He's serious? So she was offered coke behind stage, and that was against her principles. But Kathy Griffin is a professional victim at this point. Her solution to firing back the Judeo crash culture in Hollywood is not to boycott it. No way. It's to cry on camera and hashtag. If you want to feel better and quit the illusion that you're living in and shut down the illusionary machine itself, then unplug it. The Hollywood pansexual perverts are afraid you will do that, and you won't need them anymore to cope with life. You could deal with reality on your own terms. To Griffin, Cohen wasn't a scumbag as long as he was signing checks. But he was more than that. He was her case officers. I'm talking about CIA case officer. Cohen is clearly on the CIA officer, and he's on the dole. And then I got a meme talking about Anderson Cooper, and then you got the CIA logo to the left side of him. Cooper, really known as a CIA asset, pushing the CIA COINTEL on the American people. I don't know. Let's check it out on Wikipedia and see what he says. During college, Cooper spent 2 summers as an intern at the Central Intelligence Agency. Although he was technically not formally educated as basically a journalist, he opted to pursue a career in journalism rather than to stay with the agency after school. From what I heard and what I understand, he said that his asthma was hurting too much and he couldn't finish. But John Wenzel of the Denver Post wrote an article about Anderson Cooper and Cohen, and it's based on their AC2 tour, which the subject of the piece that he wrote was their 25 openly gay weird relationship they got going. And they talk about Andy Cohen and their hobbies, and they talk about Anderson Cooper being the son of Gloria Vanderbilt from the Vanderbilt dynasty. You know, that is very much the establishment, but he said that he want to live on his own terms, you know, and make his own name, basically his own legacy, without using the Vanderbilt. There's no way he could be in that position unless he was the establishment, being on CNN, being a talking head. But he's been and reported in war-torn regions and doing CIA work and diplomatic work. What, you have it? And then I go on, and then you see President Camacho, and then you see Donald Trump, and Camacho's holding his automatic machine gun, and Trump looks like he's holding a hunting rifle. And it said America could be seriously heading towards a dystopia betrayed in the comedy movie Idiocracy. Okay, so the article that I was talking about earlier about the AC2 combine goes on to talk about that these two guys, Cooper Cooper and Andy Cohen, cover everything from presidential debates to the behind the scenes of the Real Housewives, because Cohen actually made the Real Housewives, but never really watched that show. But it goes on to talk about Andy Cohen was the executive producer of that franchise. Yeah, he was. And a longtime friend of Donald Trump himself. And he was actually on Anderson Cooper's show on CNN. And he talked about how Donald Trump was actually using the playbook of the Real Housewives. I can't believe that Anderson Cooper would actually have as his best friend somebody who's Donald Trump's friend, mutual friend, in the 2016 election year. Social media users were abhorrent that some of their friends could actually be Trump supporters themselves and actually remove friends that were voting for Trump. But Anderson Cooper had him on a Trump friend on his couch. Then it goes on in my article to talk about the Real Housewife playbook that our reality star president is supposedly following as a technical maneuver to dupe the mask's reality style with a reality bomb. And Trump is used to playing an asshole boss to aspiring capitalists that are desperately trying to avoid being fired by him. Trump was made the Zio globalist, a globalist celebrity for treating people as pets and property. But Trump is a puppet. He's not the puppeteer. Puppeteer is a gaggle of Jews that are behind him and pulling his strings. And the handbook that Cohen is talking about is from the Talmud. The tactics of the Real Housewives that he's talking about is as ancient as the tribe itself. Trump is an actor, and the tribe is the author of Trump's handbook that he's playing by. If you have time, definitely play that clip. It's titled Family Feud. Andy Cohen on the First Lady, Ivanka Trump, and Trading Barbs. It might not be worth your time, but maybe it might be. All right, let's move on to the article. The media is actually saying that Cohen is actually a whistleblower for exposing Mariah Carey's lip singing. Who the hell cares? That's Talmudic 101 for you. Never give the goyim anything of substance. And who's the goyim? I'm not going to refer you guys as cattle. You guys are wise. You guys are not sheep. But to the tribe, we're livestock to be bought and sold, to be sacrificed, to be slaughtered, to work the fields so they could kick their feet up and read the Torah. Let's recap 2016, what happened with Kathy Griffin at the New Year's special when she co-hosted it with Cooper. So Kathy Griffin wants to get maximum attention as much as possible so she could get soaring headlines. She's past that 35 peak by several years. And she thinks that she could get back in the headlines and maybe even get on the A-list of celebrities by tickling Anderson Cooper's nutsack live on television just to arouse him, just for some more clickbait. And then she goes on to try to actually get on her hands and knees and give her a blowjob. And Anderson Cooper's clipboard says no nudity because he was afraid that she was going to completely strip in the cold weather. So that's family television for you guys. And all that was hunky-dory. You know, you could blow Cooper live on television. It was actually edited in my article, what I actually wrote. I said that she actually tried to eat the shit off of Andy Cohen's shit off of Anderson Cooper's dick. And May 31st, 2017, Kathy did a fake beheading video where she raises a head of Donald Trump, and this terminally cut off and severed the ties between CNN and the comedian. And there was actually a drag queen winner who poses Kathy Griffin, and it's pretty impeccable. InfoWars don't really like, but I posted one of their breakdowns they did. I don't have time and resources to talk about it. But it went over Kathy Griffin, a lot of pouty-eyed crying. I wish you would just get on a broom and go away somewhere. But Kathy Griffin, she didn't double down. She just cried like a little baby. Pleaded, forgive me on social media. She didn't do anything more badass than cutting off the head of a effigy of Donald Trump. No. Just forgive me, guys. I'm a comedian. Sometimes I cross borders and hang down walls. There's no way in hell you're ever going to see me cry, much less on camera. Kathy Griffin burned bridges and alienating everybody from who originally employed her. And if you take a look at Kathy Griffin, she actually looks like Rose McGowan in that horrible video that she did called Knowingness, where it's definitely an MK Ultra control video of her basically wearing like different outfits with spikes on it. And she has makeup that has black eyes, and she has spikes coming out of her skin, and she rips herself open, and you can see her insides. It's pretty horrible. But that video is called Rose McGowan, RM4686. And Rose McGowan is actually the head of what we call the Me Too movement. And I got a tiger yawn for the Me Too movement, because it is totally anticlimactic. I love the badass movies with starring female roles, like, for example, Uma Thurman in Kill Bill. Uma Thurman exacts her revenge on her employer that actually brutalized her on her own wedding, beat her to death, and by four hitmen that came in and stormed the place. It was actually three hitmen. And that was actually four. Beat the shit out of her. And she was pregnant during her wedding. And she said, Bill, the baby's mine. And then Bill still shot her in the head in this movie. Rose McGowan was in a Quentin Tarantino movie. Kill Bill was a Quentin Tarantino movie. But actually, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. It wasn't Quentin Tarantino. It was part of the Grindhouse series. It was called Planet Terror. Quentin Tarantino was actually in the movie, but he didn't direct it. Where Planet Terror has a woman who fights zombies, who's starring Rose McGowan, and she has a machine gun for a leg. Pretty badass. But there's actually like a quote in that movie, because Rose McGowan actually plays kind of a stripper. She would say, I'm a go-go dancer, not a stripper. There's a difference. and her stage manager for the strip club or the go-go dancing, after she's done crying on stage, would say, it's go-go, not cry-cry. And you ain't leaving me, girl. You ain't quitting on me. You're going to get back there again. And the opening scene to this movie is really, really reminiscent of Rose McGowan's career. You know, how exploitive this Hollywood system is itself. She dances. She waves her body to make money. And then after the song is over, she's there crying against the mirror, probably thinking about, what did I do in life to get this bad in life? And her makeup is smearing. And I actually always like Rose McGowan. Like, Planet Terror is one of my favorite movies of all time. You know, zombie apocalypse, girl with guns. That's really quite the type of movie. And I wanted to share a little bit of background about her to bring some humanity to her. You know, it's not my first rodeo about covering her. She was steered in the group that's a polygamous cult called Children of God, which is a cult here in America. But she was part of the Italian chapter. She actually escaped 9 years old, according to the Los Angeles Times. After moving to the United States, she ran away at the age of 13 and lived a transient kind of punk life. And then she was. And then the article ends right there. It kind of leaves you to believe that she actually was discovered by Hollywood. Picked up. You know, Hollywood was founded by pervs, pansexual cult. And they actually used to like to hire women that were part of prostitution rings. They're the easiest to control. You got to bend backwards and forwards for this. And it's just, you know, the guys in Hollywood, the guys on the totem pole. I'll be back in a second, guys.
You?
Yes, Goyam, you! Fallen on hard times, need cash, sick of waiting tables? Here at the Juilletard School of Drama, we can make all your hopes and dreams come true. Sign up for our 33-week course and we will teach you how to laugh mid-sentence when describing how your friend was blown into 6 million pieces, how to move too soon before any shots or explosions are even heard, the lost art of driving into people but having your truck stay nice and clean, the correct posture when crouching over a dummy so your ID card doesn't cause neck strain. Sign up today and we guarantee weekly acting jobs with the CIA, FEMA, MI5, even Mossad! Scholarships and bursaries available for war veteran amputees and illegal immigrants. Juilletard School of Drama. We even supply the tomato sauce and dead chickens.
Did you have a friend on the Liberty? I had a friend on the Liberty. They tried to sink her to the bottom of the sea. She kept on floating into history. Unmarked jets flew down from the sky and shot up our ship and nobody knew why. A torpedo boat blew a hole in her side. A lot of sailors hurt and 34 died. Come to find out it was part of a plan. They'd sink our ship, she'd go down with all hands. Blame it on Egypt to trick us in a war. The trick didn't work, the crew showed them what's for. Did you have a friend on the Liberty? I had a friend on the Liberty. Who tried to sink her? It was Israelis, but she kept on floating into his story. Oh, LBJ.
You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Hey, we're back again, hour number two right now. Rolly Quaid on the wild card here on this lovely Friday night. Supposed to have a co-host, Tom from Connecticut. I hope you're doing well, man. I want to gauge the audience and ask you guys a question here in the chat room while I have you guys all together. Do you guys like how I do shows like this where I like go over my articles, or do you like it when I just wing some shit? I'll let that question resonate. You guys could answer that in the chat room. Before the break, I was actually talking about Rose McGowan. Rose McGowan was actually most memorable for when she went to the MTV VMAs, barely dressed. And she had like a beaded leopard G-string, and her boyfriend was there. And her boyfriend was no other than shock rock goth, Marilyn Manson. And coordinated a shiny leopard skin print suit. We edited the butt and the boobs of her, but she actually went out in public like that. McGowan says, "I have been slut-shamed. I have been harassed." I made a meme of Marilyn Manson, what he said about the Me Too movement. Marilyn Manson actually said, "It's a snowball effect. Me Too movements like the Me Too movement. It could really ruin a lot of people's lives who don't need to be ruined." You can read my other articles that I wrote about the Me Too movement. I hope they knock off all the wizards on the totem pole. If you want to look at how to make a putz, you got to watch Stephen King's Children of the Corn and look at Malachi holding a pitchfork and rifle. Kill the Outlander! That's how you have a putz. Not crying on the freaking internet. Oh, I'm touched. Your tormentors love it when you say that. That gives them more power. They get off on that shit. Harvey Weinstein is middle man on the totem pole of the warlocks. He's not up there at the tip of the pyramid, and you're not really attacking the source. You're not going to unplug Hollywood. You're not going to refuse to take any of their phone calls. You love the drugs too much. You love the pansexual life. You love bending backwards for these fucking, I'm not going to use the K word, but for these degenerate big nose scum. Andy Cohen actually interviewed Rose McGowan about her relationship status with Marilyn Manson on a show called Watch What Happened Live. It's a pretty sick show. Andy Cohen asked his guests like series of inappropriate questions that if you watch the show with anybody you really don't feel comfortable with, you don't want to be in the same room as your mom when watching the show. But he asked Rose McGowan, why'd you break up with Marilyn Manson? And, between me and Marilyn Manson, this is not an exact quote, is the Scarface thing. Andy Cohen said, Scarface thing. Think about it. Coke, Andy said. How much did he blow? You were not down for it? No, she basically concluded that it was it wasn't the bad Colombian accent. It was actually how much coke they shared between each other. Probably Marilyn Manson was hogging all the coke. And Andy Cohen asked, like, exactly, basically how much you guys do. And Rose McGowan said, I plead the fourth instead of the fifth. Then we're going to go on to an article that was released on November the 14th, 2017, when Rose McGowan was arrested for leaving on a plane with cocaine. Claiming that the drugs were planted on her. This was during when she went forward with the Me Too movement and started to use a limited hangout expose of the pedophile network. And not the pedophile network, but the pervs in Hollywood. So she started on another hashtag called Rose's Army, where she declares her innocence. You know, this incident happened on January the 20th flight on Washington Dallas Airport. But she was up to her neck getting investigated by the Black Cube, which I wrote an article on it earlier. And if we have time today, I'll go over it again. The Black Cube is an agency that actually had an agent pose as a woman's activist to meet Rose McGowan and pursue her to give away her memoirs, a copy of her book, her journal, and basically see how much she was willing to spill her guts to pretending to be her friend. Her memoirs are actually supposed to be released this month, but I haven't heard anything in the media about like a release date. Maybe it's been pushed back. Israeli intelligence is linchpin to the casting couch we've heard about over and over again. For the whole Me Too phenomenon. The linchpin is also Kathy Griffin's behead video and the outrage that ensued. So as I said earlier, Marilyn Manson did a video which was directed by Tyler Shields, who does pictures of Adolf Hitler getting his own brains blown out by a golden gun from the World War II era. And so Marilyn Manson's video has, it's a clean chop. I mean, like, he just, clean slice, holding Trump's head from his body. Trump had an incident with the CEO of Spin magazine. And there were some issues going on with Trump and Marilyn Manson. And Manson didn't want to get close to the Trump Towers at the time because there was a warrant out for his arrest. And then I go on to this article and talk about Tyler Shields' portfolio, a really feminist empowerment display he really has. And the first picture I use is a man, probably Tyler himself, holding an iron and has a woman tied front side, and she has a black eye, and she's actually holding the cord with her teeth, the ironer cord. Perhaps he actually hit her with the iron or pressed her with the hot iron. Then it has a bunch of mouths of the same woman of spitting out water. And then there's she's drinking a Coca-Cola. Maybe it's a pitcher done for the Coca-Cola Corporation, where a woman is drinking a traditional kind of Rockwell style traditional pitcher of a Coke, you know, glass Coke, and she's drinking it, and it's all coming out of her mouth. Looks like she's performing oral sex on it. And then also part of the collection is Lindsay Lohan from a different collection, but I put it up anyways, of her with a gun to her head as part of art. Breitbart reported that the Tyler Shields photo of Kathy McGriffin is actually being sold for six figures from art buyers. Offers for the printout of Kathy Griffin fake video of her severed head of Donald Trump is expected to exceed over $100,000. Tyler Shields is the new George Estabrooks. In 1943, Estabrooks was a prominent psychologist in hypnosis who was employed in what would be called the CIA. In his work, hypnotism, anyone could be thrown into the deepest state of hypnosis by what use of what I term the Russian method, no holds barred, deliberate disingenuity, sorry for my pronunciation, of a personality of psychic torture. The subject might easily be left a mental wreck, but war is a grim business. Then it has a picture of Marilyn Manson and Johnny Depp together as part of this video. Marilyn Manson took actor Johnny Depp a long ride to hell on Highway 66. Manson and Depp took the devil's red hand and is using the Estabrooks method on MTV pre-teams. I can't even watch this shit that they did. Sumner Redstone, who owns MTV, he stepped down. He's supposed to be some sort of geriatrics right now. But he owns TV through Viacom. And Sumner Redstone was a member of the OSS, which was a vital part of the MK Ultra program. The MK Ultra program never ended. It only grew and grew and changed its name. I didn't want to get you guys MK'd, so I didn't put the video up on my article, but I put a reaction video of a black woman with pink dreadlocks doing a reaction video. Then underneath it, you have the Hypnotoad. Obey the Hypnotoad. It's kind of a gif. Marilyn Manson said about his videos, Satan, which is the beheading video, to the Daily Beast, at one point holding the head and its remain resembled Trump. Marilyn Manson's response was about this grotesque thing that he did. As a artist's duty to ask the questions, the reader must ask them. So it's basically not up to your prejudice how to interpret his videos, and he is only an artist. Then underneath it, I have a video of a woman's head getting eaten. Manson and Shields may be setting the stage for the day of Zio Emperor Trump, the Zog Emperor himself, to be sacrificed to the evil tribe, god, deity, so that they could shine more light on the favor of the tribe themselves. And then there's a picture of Gaddafi getting stomped out by his own people and blood. And he's crying, why me, while holding his own blood dripping down his face. Antoine LaVey joined the Mossad at ground level. And when it was being formed by the Stern and Irgun gangs, you gotta check out my article, Horns Up, Crosses Down. Antoine LaVey was a Zionist gunrunner. And there's a picture of Marilyn Manson and Antoine LaVey together. Before Antoine LaVey went to his creator, he was ordained young Marilyn Manson as an honorary priest at the Church of Satan. Now Marilyn Manson is a priest in the MK Ultra Illuminati mind control program that is very connected to everything that is going on in the media as one of their rituals of their order. He is a walking hypnotic pocket watch. You don't believe that Marilyn Manson has hypnotic power? Take a look at his idol, Antoine LaVey. Antoine LaVey actually convinced Janet Mansfield, a mind-controlled Scarlet compared to Marilyn Monroe, that Antoine LaVey, because they were sexual partners, was a handsome prince. But in reality, he looked like a dead goat. And he actually looked more like a goat than Baphomet, the god that the Illuminati worships, that is part of the Zohar. Marilyn Manson did a video where he put his all-seeing eye and had stars on the border of the pyramid, all-seeing eye capstone, the cornerstone that the builders rejected, if you guys are familiar with Illuminati symbolism. Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen have their assistants reveal secrets about them, but there's no smoking gun. They don't talk about priests and the MK Ultra program. You know, they're loyal servants to them. They'll say, he does creaky things when he's, you know, makes me get his coffee. He likes 2 clumps of sugar, you know, boring, waste of time. I actually went to 4chan and 8chan and check out this guy that you've been talking about. Q, Eggnog, Clearance, whatever the freak his name is. Putting out articles about Anderson Cooper. And there's no smoking gun. I could barely understand what is even his readers are saying about him. But you got to check out the video that I put about Anderson Cooper's coverage of the 2012 Sandy Hook hoax, where he reads. He doesn't read. He shows the audience a picture of an owl, which is very, very reminiscent of the owl of the Bohemian Grove, the all-seeing owl that could see a night and turn his head at a 360. And you got Anderson Cooper 360. Q Eggnog is less than softcore porn, people. I'm a hardcore MMA fighter. I knocked a guy's eye out one time. Now he's a blind madman looking for revenge. Read my article. Support my work, guys. I really need it. I spend a lot of time and a lot of thought into these articles. You know, I'm shy on radio. I don't know if you guys know that. I hate talking to myself. I get bored. But it'd be true. I would love it if my videos or my articles, you know, preferably, trended as much as this QAnon guy. And every single one of my articles, I always put up my email. You guys could email me. I'm looking for fact finders who want to go on a mission with me to come up with new sources I wish by now I had my own army to look up sources for me, or just like to email me a story that we're not covering here on Renegade. You know, anything to make my job easier, you know, volunteer job that I have, you know, giving you guys news and information. But Chris H. actually said he read one of my articles. Chris H., if you're here, come into the chat room whenever you're ready. I am inviting you to come on, my friend. I'm going to open up the call lines for anybody who wants to come in. Nobody comes in, I'm going to go over my other article that I came out with this month. It's about the Israeli mafia. And I'm going to go over it real quick. And like I said, the call board is open. You guys can call in. It doesn't have to be about my article. But I'm going to go over Ron Goins' Israeli Mafia and the Snowman Psyops, which is right here on Renegade Tribune. By now, most of you guys have heard of the five Italian crime families, Bonanno, Colombo, Gambino, etc. But I bet none of you guys can name a single crime family from the Israeli crime family of New York. Apparently, they control the six boroughs, too. And I released it a hard-to-get video in this article called The Last Man Standing, which talks about the Israeli Mafia. I haven't been able to locate this video. I've only seen as much as I released, you know, a couple YouTube videos, but I can't find it on eBay. Amazon doesn't carry it. But it'd be interesting if you guys could locate it for me. But you guys never heard of the six families of New York? Do you think there's some sort of tribal bias in the media in Hollywood that you would never hear about these guys? The six families are actually Moroccan Jews. They're not originally from Israel. But they still have that Zionist Jewish supremacy mentality that is very indignant in the tribe itself, no matter what side of the earth they're from. And they're willing to commit acts to champion Zionism, even acts of murder. The Israeli Mafia consisted of around 20 core members that were involved in drug trafficking, racketeering, exploitation, and the racketeering related to gasoline. They lacked a code of conduct, we're told, and they had no clear hierarchy associated with them. Like, for example, you know, the Italian Mafia is very organized and has a clear pyramid structure, but they didn't organize it themselves. It was by the organizers of religion themselves, which was the tribe, who organized it, and they call it their counselors. But supposedly, the tribe, if they had a mafia, they wouldn't be able to have some sort of clear code of conduct or hierarchy or pyramid. I don't believe this horse shit at all. The six families have been defunct since the 1990s, but their legacy has been draped in blood. If you hung around Coney Island in Brooklyn, New York, in the 1980s, you would see them wearing their Teflon, their yarmulkes, a sign of their deep respect for their tribal god, Jehovah, and their devotion to the tribe. Have you ever wondered where all the Italians went? The very Jewish Red Mafia of Russia, otherwise known as the Vorhi Vakuni, which means thief-in-law, took over New York after the collapse of the Soviet Union. The Vorhi is short for what they call themselves. It's actually more powerful than the Israeli Mafia. these guys are street punks compared to a lot of the Israeli mob organizations, because they're not Ashkenazi, they're more Arabs. And the Ashkenazis are deeply more tied into the Lukovich organization, like Rashkamunkshin. All right, so you got the boss of all bosses, Itan Haya, who was supposedly the boss of all bosses of the Israeli mafia. Then you got Johnny Atlas, who was the biggest drug dealer of heroin in the tri-state until 1990. He was actually murdered. But he had a large empire, and his nickname was just simply Crazy. If you said Crazy on Coney Island, they knew who you were talking about. He had a very, very hot, violent temper. He saw killing as a perk of his profession. The Italian mafia in the 1980s would hire Johnny for professional murder contracts. Johnny was always quick to reply and always would oblige. He made a splash when he moved to New York in the 1987. And he killed a prominent Italian. He killed the Italian mob heroin connect, which was a guy named Alian. And then I go on to talk about the history of 1987, about the heroin and the system that they had going on between Amsterdam and Thailand, all the way to the jungles, to the streets of New York, the concrete jungle. They would actually smuggle hashish. We'll take a break, guys.
The issue of immigration developing now across the whole of the European continent based on what you're seeing there in Germany?
This is a very good point, because immigration is the future. You cannot work and live in a globalized world, in the middle of the world, in Europe, without immigration.
Well, there's a second thing in that black box, an unrelenting stream of immigration, non-stop. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we're approaching the last 30 minutes. I want to recommend you guys check out all my articles. Look up the name Really Quaid. I'm a badass motherfucker. I got badass articles, hard-hitting news you guys need to know about. I got shit you guys don't even know, never heard. But I want to conclude by this article. I'm only halfway on it right now. About Ron going, that the barrel of the scope that we gaze upon the Israeli mafia is all from this one surviving member. He is the only surviving member that will talk. And the only other surviving member is Haya, the boss of all bosses. And he's over in Israel, and he refuses to talk. Very interesting article, very good piece. You guys will learn a lot from this article. You guys will get a lot of more insight into how the cabal works, how the La Cosa Nostra works. But having said that, I think we got Chris H. on the line. Chris H., are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, buddy? I'm curious. Which article did you read of my work, the most recent?
I went through them a few days ago. So I read, I think, the first two that you mentioned, the one with, about the golden symbolism, and the one about Trump being decapitated and all this stuff, the symbolism. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard stuff to write about, especially thinking so abstractly about, you know, all these symbols and hints that you're getting at in the mainstream media, and you're really walking through a wilderness of mirrors, you know, in the mass media. That's what James Angleton used to say, is that the intelligence world is a wilderness of mirrors. And you're trying to piece together all these broken puzzle pieces and trying to figure out what exactly is going to go on and what's the future. And, you know, the particulars, I have no idea. I don't have a magic eight ball to tell me what's going on in the world or what all these symbols actually mean. I can tell you that it has deep occult meanings behind all these musicians cutting the head off of Trump and killing him. I don't particularly like it, you know. What do you think about it, Chris?
Well, they're putting a lot of this stuff out there already with people like Lady Gaga and what's she called? People like that in the videos and in the music. So it's just about taking it one step further and showing how it all relates and why they're pushing it out there, because it's
right, exactly.
It's programmers.
And they're even bottling it up and wearing Lady Gaga's urine as a perfume. Absolutely ridiculous. This weird pansexual cult that runs our planet. And it's absolutely abhorrent that they use people from prostitute rings to get in and come to the forefront and be basically the puppets that dance in front of us that we're supposed to somehow idolize. When is the last time you listened to a piece of music with a woman or man singing, actually talking about love and romance instead of just talking about their private part or talking about going to the bathroom and slitting their wrists like Pink did?
Yeah, well, I don't listen to this music anyway. I step away from pretty much all that culture, and I'm further away from it than I ever have been, so it's pretty much another world to me right now.
Right, I notice here on Renegade, you know, we incorporate more Celtic, you know, music, which I feel like heavy metal, you know, and music like that, you know, strike a deep chord with me, you know, tribal music, drums beating hard, you know. Matter of fact, I always wanted to get the music number to a lot of this music that I'm hearing for the first time, and I've actually only heard on Renegade itself.
Yeah, well, I played a lot on my show, so if you go to my shows, and you can hear some at the end. And then I've got some music lists, so there's some there. And yeah, there's really great music and adverts that I played on bumpers on Renegade. So it's inspiring as well as the show content. And I think you're doing a really good job today, actually. I think it proves that you can do it alone. And if you can get on regularly and you can turn up, then you can get some good content out there, because it's relatable what you're saying. You're tying it in with what people can relate to, and you bring some humor to the table as well. So yeah, it fits with the Renegade narrative, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for saying that. I do try to tie in a lot of humor. You know, I wanted to be an enjoyable article for anybody to read, but I actually targeted it towards college students, because they're not going to sit down and read an article that's really dry and boring, you know. I try to make it fun, like give it a sort of story that doesn't necessarily layer on any particular time, but is just a story, you know. Most stories, they're old and they're no longer in use, and you just kind of disregard it, throw it away. You know, I don't need that article anymore. But the best news that you could get is actually on a Friday. It's called Friday News, because they know that you're going to forget about it over the weekend. And that's when I damn sure make that sure that I get every article that they put out today and read it. And I don't forget. I take notes. I jot it down. I got libraries of books. I got notebooks everywhere that I read through to ponder what could I write about, you know, every single day. And I really want this to be my job, you know. I'm halfway retired from MMA. You know, I'm not as fighting as much. I'm not an old dog. You know, I'm in my prime now, actually. But I'm not going to work for 9-to-5, man. You know, I'm going to do something I like. I'm not going to work in an office, a cubicle. You know, it's either going to be the octagon or doing something in the media.
Well, I think it's important what you're doing, because, you're making something relatable. And it definitely fills a gap, because people speak about, say, gods or the past. But you're talking about the present and how that relates in terms of the media and basically these personalities, which are really degenerate, and they do they buy their own bullshit, and they're a part of this mass culture as well. You know, people like this Harvey Weinstein, they are deeply tied into all this mass culture and the personality. So it does all tie together.
You know, you got Woody Allen, right, who actually said that this was a witch hunt. You know, these women of the Me Too movement going after, you know, the wizards, you know. And the thing about it is, he's a degenerate, sick freak himself, you know, molesting an Asian girl that he adopted for so many years. And he was actually married to the woman, Mia Farrow, who actually was Rosemary from Rosemary's Baby. Do you remember that scene from that movie where Antoine LaVey was actually in? He might have actually been the eyes of Satan in that movie, and they actually may have actually performed some sort of orgy on her during the filming, because that's not a cute, you know what I mean? They weren't trying to be cute about it, and it was directed by Roman Polanski, who is getting therapy for his sick degenerateness in Europe, chasing women all around, and he has free reign, and Hollywood is still praising him and worshiping. Meryl Streep, you know, was saddened by the fact that Roman Polanski wasn't making films like The Pianist anymore. And Mia Farrell's son, you know, Roman Farrell, who's supposed to be Woody Allen's son, is the leading lawyer for the Me Too movement. Did you realize that, Chris?
No, well, you're going to have to fill me in a bit on the Me Too movement, because, I mean, for me, a lot of this stuff is, goes over my head because it's not my interest area.
I got you. So there's a lawyer hired, and he's also a journalist from The New Yorker. His name is Roman Farrell. He's Mia Farrell's son, and he's working with Rose McGowan. And he actually could have been a Rosemary baby himself. And he could be, you know, the son of a number of people. He could be Roman Polanski's son. He could be Antoine LaVey's son. You know, take any number of men during that movement. And this sick, degenerate cult decided to put him on the forefront of the Me Too movement. And they don't just have a Me Too movement in Hollywood. Congress has a Me Too movement now, which is another hashtag group, and they've actually chosen this chick with a beak named Jackie Spears, who is reporting that she was molested in the 1970s and harassed by her employer, which was Hollister, and they actually survived Jonestown together. They were in Jonestown and they got ran off. She has actually never actually said what happened at Jonestown, but it seems oddly suspicious that she's telling on the person that she escaped from having a near-death experience with, that he was harassing me and tried to kiss me in the closet. You know, nobody actually cares what happened between you and him as far as sexually. We want to know what happened at Jonestown, you know? Jackie Spears has been communicating a lot, I mean a lot, with, like, having luncheons with this feminist named Gloria Steinem. Do you remember Gloria Steinem, the CIA agent?
I recognize the name.
She was supposedly this hardcore feminist that was contacted by the CIA.
Oh, yeah.
To become an agent, and she's supervising the Me Too movement right now. All these women have to consult with her, and she said, "Let us not make our Twitter fingers become trigger fingers. You know, let's not have some sort of violent revolt." You know, and she's referring to more or less Trump at the time, not necessarily Me Too, but she actually stole that phrase from a gangster rap video by Drake. And also, Jonestown has been likened to actually be a CIA front testing, like, human experiment to see how much the alphabet governments can actually get away with people. And that's possibly what Jonestown was a front for itself. You got anything to add on that one, Chris, or you want to move on to another topic?
Yeah, it wasn't. So isn't that where they all ended up killing themselves?
Yeah, they drink what's called the Kool-Aid, you know? That's the popular phrase for don't drink the Kool-Aid, you know, don't drink too much of the poison. And get brainwashed by these sick people. And Rose McGowan, she's from one of those groups. You know, she was a part of the cult of Children of God, you know. And she ran away from the group, escaped from these cultists, and became homeless and sat on a curb in Hollywood when she was discovered by Hollywood, you know, at 13 years old. She had no escape from it. Of course she's going to get in a relationship with Marilyn Manson, the high priest of the MK Ultra program.
Yeah, I've heard that some people, even in the alternative media, have been connected to some of these groups. Like supposedly Zen Gardner was connected to, was it Jonestown? I'm not sure, but yeah, it's just interesting how all of the media seems to be tied into this degeneracy. And then what do you think of Alex Jones perhaps being Bill Hicks?
You know, that is a funny, funny troll technique. I actually thought it was really funny, and I actually promoted it because he actually goes so crazy when you say he looks like Bill Hicks. Well, he's not Bill Hicks, you know. A lot of people, like, for example, a world star philosopher, admitted later on that he was just doing it for fun. You know, it's just for all the lols, you know what I mean? It's just good fun. That's what it all was kids having fun on lying and trolling him and watching him, you know, responding to it and said, I'm not Bill Hicks. You know, the age don't match up. And, yeah, Bill Hicks died of a drug overdose, you know?
Yeah, but these people could be anything, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And I do believe that, you know, there could be some sort of, you know, actors and characters going on to play different roles as real life people and it's some sort of interactive playing role game in front of our eyes, you know. But just that particular one, I don't believe. Have you been following any other sort of conspiracy lately, Chris?
I don't really follow many conspiracies nowadays because I just found it a waste of time years ago. But I was just looking at Matthew North's YouTube channel and he was talking about that. Oh, Carmen wants to talk about David Icke. Yeah. Well, David Icke, he had this TV station that he made, created, and he got everybody to fund it and was saying that the station couldn't fail because it was all important. And then he just let it all fall apart. Don't know if you remember that, Rolly.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really in England, so like I haven't been able to keep up with the station. I try to avoid David Icke as much as possible. Brian Rule, he's a popular YouTuber. One of his videos did a YouTube video where he was talking about David Icke's work and praising it over the holidays. And he's saying, I've woke you guys up about Adolf Hitler, but I want to wake you up, guys, about the reptilians. And I wish David Icke would include the reptilians into his work. You know, that'd be really great, you know. And I just don't see it, man. You start talking about reptilians. What are you talking about? You're just talking about boogeymans and spooks that nobody could ever identify. They don't leave you any conspiracy to anything of meat and potatoes of anything of importance. You know, it's not shape-shifting reptiles. It's the tribe, guys. It's the ethnic group that rules us.
Yeah, and I've been seeing on his website, he's pushing more and more, in subtle ways, Nazis. And then today he had on his website, shamed Toby Young attended secret eugenics conference with neo-Nazis and pedophiles. So he's trying to link the two together. Then his Facebook was taken down for 6 days, apparently, but it was supposedly an error, but I'm just wondering if it's just to give him legitimacy because and also then when his TV station it did fail and it kind of destroyed a part of the alternative media. It kind of got rid of some of the innocence of the alternative media, I feel, and from that then it went for new narratives that became sort of semi-mainstream, such as Red Ice going. Red Ice ended up falling for the more right-wing angle, and so did Jones. And then people were falling into the Trump narrative, but then Icke was going for like the anti-racist, was pushing that kind of narrative. And then I recently heard him say that that he would be open to be investigated to prove that he was not a racist, which kind of makes, which kind of, and he was talking about legally. So he's opened up, he's made it sound like if people are, then perhaps they should be investigated. And he hasn't talked about all these arrests happening, you know, of nationalists in Britain. They completely stick away from that. And of course, the alternative media does, because it seems to me like the only real legitimate alternative media is Renegade.
I would definitely agree with that. I think what David Icke got his ideas from was the show that came out in the 1980s called V, which was V for Visitor, which had lizard men that were Nazis that shapeshift. The show actually was made by Kenneth Johnson. I don't remember if he's British or not, but it failed and was canceled because he wanted way too much money for his show. And it seems exactly that he actually copied his idea for the lizard man from that show. And I got another one for you, Chris. Yuri Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu's son, actually has endorsed the lizard man conspiracy theories on his Facebook account, and has actually put up George Soros as a reptilian man holding a fishing line, you know, with a hook on it. And also David Icke has actually been labeled a Nazi by a Guardian, John Robinson, who's a writer for The Guardian. And I don't know if you remember The Men Who Stare at Goats. He wrote that. It turned into a movie. And he worked with Alex Jones and painting David Icke as a lukewarm, they didn't go full scale Nazi. And which was ironic because Alex Jones and John Robinson actually revealed that when Alex Jones blew the lid off Bohemian Grove, they went together. If you could believe that. Do you know much about John Robinson?
No, I don't.
He's an English fellow. Like I said, he wrote a series of books, you know, soft corn conspiracy theory books. Worked very, very hard to make David Icke and some sort of like white supremacist, national socialist. And
he's so far from that, it's ridiculous. It's such a joke. It's just because he was pushing this whole Zionist angle. I don't know what he was pushing at that point, but it's just controlled opposition, it seems to me. He's only going so far with it, and I don't see him saying anything new in pretty much the last 10 years.
He was a professional soccer player and actually quit because he had bad arthritis at his knees. And he went on to become a journalist for sports writer for the BBC. And, you know, that's an MI6 front, you know. So for the word go, you know, he was probably involved with the military intelligence circles inside of England and elsewhere. You know, MI6. It's part of the echelon, you know, it's part of the Five Eyes, you know, it's Western intelligence. It has a large scope that it surveils, and they need a lot of operatives, and they put people in to be conspiracy theorists and, lead you to a long ride to nowhere. It's like trying to grab a greased up pole in a deepless hole, and you just get up a little bit and then you get sucked right back down. And I try my damnest to write conspiracies for you guys that you guys could get something out of. You know, none of this reptile bullshit, you know. Everything is meat and potatoes that you could see.
Yeah. I've seen that Graham Hart that used to be on this station, his latest show is about reptilians, so I don't know. It's not really, I don't find it very impressive when people just go to that narrative. It's like, really, can't you talk about something better than that?
I got so much stuff to write about that you know, that's out in the open that you could see. Like, I don't see what the point is just to make up conspiracies or talk about the Illuminati in an androgynous way without, like, pointing out some of these people. It was really frustrating when I was doing Mac and May, because when I finally got done with my work, I went online to see what other people were writing to see if I could add some sources. And people were talking about, Mayweather fought with Big Show in WrestleMania and that match was rigged. So this match between McGregor, the UFC fighter, has to be rigged as well. I mean, you guys are talking about pro wrestling and then you're talking about the Illuminati in an androgynous way without naming some names such as Bob Arum. You know, give people a face to the order that you're talking about. Otherwise, it's a long ride to nowhere on Highway 66 with Q&A and Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, well, they just suggest that it's Nazi, don't they? They just suggest that the Illuminati and Nazis are the same thing, and it's white supremacy.
If you go to Barnes & Noble and you look at the book display, you will always see a Jim Mars Fourth Reich book that you could buy that says the Fourth Reich controls America, and it's a New York Times bestseller, and of course the Jews in New York laugh it off like, the Nazis rule. You know, they know it's them, but they like that put that bullshit in the current events section of Barnes & Nobles for people to pick up and read and take a long ride to nowhere.
The alternative is just another mainstream narrative.
Hey, thanks for being on with me, Chris. I hope you guys enjoyed my show. Yep.
Nothing about South Africa in Western schools, other than that there was an evil apartheid government of white racists who oppressed everyone until the great Saint Nelson Mandela came along. Now you can learn the real history of exploration, conflict, concentration camps for the Boers, Jewish-funded black terrorism, Winnie Mandela and her necklacing, rampant murder and rape under the ANC, the so-called squatter camps, how the Rainbow Nation is a blueprint for what's to come for whites worldwide, and so much more. Between Heaven and Hell, The True Story of Whites in South Africa by Sinead McCarthy, free to watch at whitesouthafrica.com.
horses flash up a rocksle swing, shining armor's piercing ring. Horses run with a polished shield, fight those bastards till they yield. Midnight man, blood red